Yes.
Evolution. We get taught evolution at school, and we get taught that it's like a matter of fact rather than theory.
Yes.
And then, you know, out there, it's, Catholics are supposedly against evolution completely. You talk about that in the book.
I talk about that in the third section of the book on science. So I try to be as honest as possible. I try to be as realist as possible in the book. So effectively, evolution has, it's just, I have to say it, has very little science behind it. So when you look at the actual science, we know so much about the complexity of biological form today that the Darwinian theory proposed 150 years ago seems like a very, very klutzy explanation. Basically, Darwinism works on two mechanisms, random mutation and natural selection. Random mutation is things change. You know, we have mutations in our genes, for instance, all right? And those changes make for improvements. And those improvements stay because those who have the improvements survive and those who don't have them die. Well, it turns out that this can explain very, very little changes in things, but it's not able to explain the vast variety of things that we see around us. When you look out at the world, you see this immense complexity and great diversity of things. There's no way that something so minimal as just little changes in things is able to explain that. And in fact, what science has discovered is that we're not going in an upward direction. In fact, we're going in a downward direction. For instance, the human genome, our DNA, is accumulating mutations over time. And that's making us degrade as a species. I hate to say it, but we're, our genome is not becoming better over time. In other words, we're accumulating more and more errors in our DNA, and we're passing that on from generation to generation. I give an example of this in the book, our fight against malaria. So it turns out that people who have a disease called sickle cell disease, they don't get malaria. Whereas people who do not have the sickle cell disease, they get malaria and they die. So what happens is the people with the disease survive and the people without the disease die. So what you have is a whole population of people with the sickle cell disease. And that's a true example of devolution. So really what happened was God designed our DNA perfectly at the moment he created Adam and Eve. And since that time, we've been accumulating mutations in our DNA. So if you start with a fully functional DNA, a DNA that's perfectly designed, and over time you accumulate changes, those changes are necessarily going to be in the downward direction, not going to be in the upward direction. So Darwin didn't know this when he proposed his theory, but now we have so much scientific evidence. But they refuse it because they like Darwinism so much because they think they can explain everything in terms of it without God.
It seems to me, though, there has been some confusion amongst some quarters, probably of Catholics, in rejecting Darwin's theory of evolution and then immediately taking on that very Protestant idea of creationism and then, you know, basically tipping the baby out with the bathwater and they must all be wrong. And so
absolutely.
And I think there's a real problem in that.
Absolutely.
And especially in explaining that to young people, you know.
Yes, and that's another thing that I cover in the book on the chapter on Protestantism. I reject what's called creationism. So there's a fundamentalist view among Protestants, especially in the United States, that's often appealing to conservative Catholics. And this is the idea that we must take the Genesis 1 as a literal description of the way God created things. Well, the problem with that is we have very solid scientific evidence that that's not the way God created things. And again, we have no problem with that as Catholics. Catholics have never been obliged to believe that Genesis 1 must be understood strictly literally in all of its connotations. We take a very, very important religious truths from Genesis 1. There's a God who's outside the universe who created everything and so on. But we're not at all bound to believe that he created it in six 24-hour days. And I mean, St. Augustine grappled with this himself. He was saying, how can you have a day when you don't have planets, when you don't have a sun, you don't have a solar system? How can you have a day? It doesn't make sense. So this just must be a teaching device. It's not meant to be understood literally. So we must avoid that. I say in my book, that's not realism, right? And we must avoid that as well. So there's two, in everything, there's two extremes, and we want to keep the balance, which I claim is a realist balance. We must look at the evidence with our eyes, and we must also hold what we hold, what we're bound to believe by the church. So the church binds us to believe certain things. We all come from Adam and Eve, and there's a God who's behind everything, but we're not bound to believe what the Protestants say about creation.
Yes. So when it comes to evolution, I think that, just trying to word this as easy as possible.
No worries.
So I think we get stuck in a circle, and it's in a kind of a circular debate where you have people who are scientists or whatever who start putting forth the evidence of evolution, and I've studied, I had a subject at uni that kind of went through some of the scientific evidence for evolution.
Right.
And we get stuck in what you were trying to say, in what you mentioned, like, if we're going to argue that evolution is wrong, then we take up a creationist viewpoint.
Yeah.
But I think that, like you mentioned, in terms of what in a society that works well with a realist viewpoint, where you have science independent and religion kind of stands back and goes, let the scientists kind of figure it out.
Right.
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like, and I think this is in the catechism as well, that creation, the evolution, it doesn't actually, isn't contrary to our viewpoint. We just say, to the Catholic viewpoint, we just say that God's behind it. And so because of that, we don't have to sit there and argue against evolution in the community. We can just kind of go, we don't really care how, or whatever science comes up with, we're open to actually any evidence.
Right.
But the point is that we don't have to stand so opposed to it. Let the scientists kind of argue whether or not evolution is right or wrong.
That's correct. I mean, we don't have to oppose evolution on theological grounds. But in the end, the truth matters. The truth really does matter. So if evolution is wrong, I want to know that evolution is wrong. So I think it is useful for us to get into the scientific evidence. So I argue on scientific grounds against evolution. I do not argue on theological grounds. I do a little bit of argument on philosophical grounds, but that's a more difficult case to make. But the science for me is extremely clear at this point. And in the end, again, it does affect the way we look at things. And I personally, you know, a lot of people aren't like this, but I find the science fascinating myself. I love to read these science books, especially about the question of biology. So it's really fascinating to read what they've discovered, and we can use that to draw inferences about the God who made us. Yeah.